But you know what? I don't mind painting as much anymore because I've understood something. I got my mind around something. You know what I got my mind around? I got my mind around the fact that painting is not so bad. Painting's fine. It's easy. It's setting up all the stuff and getting everything covered, moving everything in the middle of the house, you know, getting a refrigerator out of the way from the wall and dusting and taping and you know, painting's lickety-split. It's all that other stuff. You know what God did? He looked at you and He said, this is going to be a project. And He said, but I'm going in. And when He went in, He was willing to take the fire for you. He says, I'm willing to pay the price it's going to take because I love them. Because they bear my image. Because when it's all said and done, I'll get glory. And isn't that what He said? To declare at this time, I say, His righteousness, that He might be the just and the justifier of everyone who believes in chapter 3. He says, we are saved. Look it back at chapter 3 real quick. The Bible says, being justified, verse 24... And you can skip over all the extra stuff. Being justified, look at verse 26, to declare His righteousness. Why are you saved? You're saved and justified and declared righteous. And God put you in the vat of Jesus so that you would declare His righteousness. Not your own. His righteousness. It'd be more like this. Look at me. He let me in. Got no business being here. I hope you feel like you've got no business being here. Because the fact of the matter, none of us do. All we like sheep turn each to our own way. Didn't we? The Bible says in this passage that He... Go back to chapter 4 if you would. What did He find paternally? Well, verse 9 and following down. I got to go back to verse 11. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which He had, yet being uncircumcised, that He might be the father of all them that believe. He's paternally learned something. He says, He's the father of all them that believe. I almost had Mark sing Father Abraham, but I really couldn't countenance seeing you guys, you know, rocking your arm, you know. So I said, well, we're not going to put you through that, okay? But if you remember those little Sunday school songs, Father Abraham, so I'm one of them and so are you, so let's just praise the Lord. That whole song is all about, a little confusing for the young mind, but if you understand He's the father of us all, you can say Father Abraham. Had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I'm one of them, and so are you, so let's just praise the Lord. It's just it's true. He says He's the father of all them that believe in verse 11. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Aren't you glad? It was imputed to David. It was imputed to Abraham. And as a father of the believing, why is He the father of many nations? Why is He a father of all them that believe? Because He was the first one to do it. Right. Get it. Right. Own it as a promise issue. He did it without all the accoutrements of the law. And the Jews got all wrapped up in the law. And some people in our day don't have the law to get wrapped up in. They get wrapped up in ritual. They get wrapped up in all kinds of things that are right in front of their face. If somebody prays to a statue, they get wrapped up in the statue. Just like the Jew would get wrapped up in a sacrifice. Well, I did my sacrifice, so I'm good. It wasn't about the sacrifice. The sacrifice was supposed to wear them out. If you brought a sacrifice every time you sinned, you'd be at the temple all the time. True? Man, you wouldn't have any livestock left. Got to the place where they had to start leaning on something. God must have something in mind. And when they'd interact with the priests who were doing these sacrifices all day, say, you know what? I'm learning stuff. And they would tell the people what they saw in the Holy of Holies, what they saw inside the holy place, in the most holy place, and what they understood to be true. And they would begin to see. And it says, Abraham saw my day, Jesus said. And he delighted in it. I wonder if you see Jesus. Or do you see the ritual? Do you see the circumstance? Do you see the liturgy? You see, the passage says that they got to be people who believe, and the people who believe in verse 11 are the people who have righteousness imputed to them. He's the father of the circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision, but only also, but who also walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. See, it's all about the faith of our father Abraham. He's the example of how it works. He was broken. He didn't have all the answers, but he did believe God, and when God spoke, he believed. Now in verses 13 and following, he kind of picks up and talks to us a little bit more about that. But I want you to jump down to verse 16 because here's where he turns the corner. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. The word grace is knit through the fabric of all of this discussion because it is not what we deserve. It is getting what we don't deserve. We get the blessing. And it's of faith. The only way to get it is by believing. Believing, you get imputed righteousness. And the Bible says it is of faith, that it might be of grace, to the end, and that is for this purpose, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. In other words, he says, look at Abraham. You want to have confidence? You want to have assurance? You want to have assurance? That's what he's saying. You want to have assurance? Look at Abraham. He says, God did it for him by grace. He did it for David by grace through faith. And he will do it to everyone. And you can look at them over and over. All the vignettes, all the oracles, all the short stories, all the pictures, and all the verses. You can look at it, and you can read it, and you can pore over it. And guys, you need to. You need to just pore over the scriptures, because in them ye have life. Or you may have life. Or it may reveal you've not gotten it yet. And if you haven't gotten it, it'll show you how to get it. The Bible says in verse... to the end that... I'm trying to find my place again. I lost my place. Where am I? Verse 16. 16, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are the faith of Abraham. He uses that word again, and he says, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Father, father, father. Paternally, he realized he wasn't just the father of the Jewish people who were going to be born to him, but he was the father of many nations, because everybody from every tribe, nation, peoples, and tongues are going to be in there in that day. Come and eat at the table of Abraham, and they're going to sit down, and they're going to rejoice, and they're going to be part of the family. You see, what did Abraham find? He found that before God he could not boast. But what he did find is he found that before God, whom he believed in verse 17, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were, he found that God was a God who was calling the end from the beginning. And what was the end? You're going to be the father of many nations, because your example is going to show them all how to do it. How are you doing faith today? Are you doing it ritualistically? Are you doing it liturgically? Are you doing it by pins and needles, thinking what the world says is true, that God's mean with a thunderbolt, or that God's a Santa Claus and he doesn't care about anything? Where are you getting your information? Because the scripture's pretty clear. You believe, you get placed into the vat of Christ, you begin to behave because other people are depending on you to get it right, so you can do what? The Bible says in chapter 12 of this very book, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present your bodies living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. Holy means apart, separated, acceptable to God, that you might prove or demonstrate to the world what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. What is the will of God? The will of God is that everybody would be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will. And how's he going to do that? He gets us shored up, and then we go back into the world and we show them who we are, just like Abraham did. We declare his righteousness. We are being justified to declare. It's awesome. It's a plan. You ever go somewhere and you didn't have a plan? You ever go to work and you show up and you're like, I don't know what to do. It's terrible. Miserable. God didn't say, don't worry about it. Just do whatever. He says, I got something for you to do. He says, as you're going into all the world, preach the gospel. He says, in baptizing those who believe, he says, preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then teaching them what? To do all things that I've told you to do, to obey, to observe all things that I've told you. And what did he say? As my Father sent me, so send I you. Well, I don't want to be in anything. I didn't want to sign up or anything. You know, people don't join anything anymore. They live together. They don't get married because of their... Chapter 1 problem, you know, they turned the image of God into an idolatrous view, and then they got into immorality, and it's out of control, and they don't want to join anything. They don't want to get married, they don't want to make a commitment, they want to keep their options open. The problem is life is happening while they're keeping their options open. Pretty soon they're old. Pretty soon we're throwing a crutch at the world instead of a cradle. We need to realize what we do here, right now, today, impacts what will happen in the next several years. It's on us to be holy and without blame so we can tell the world this is how it works. Verse 17 is where he says God called the end from the beginning. Verse 18 and following is where we find out what he got. So we saw what he found scripturally. We found what he found paternally. But now I want you to see finally what he found personally. He found hope. He found hope. Verse 18 he says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. You know what that meant? That means that when God came to Abraham, this is kind of picking us up, taking us back to the day when Abraham was told by God, you're going to be the father of many nations, right? He says, look at the stars in the sky. It's not going to be by Ishmael. He says, I want you to understand you're going to have a child. And that child's name is going to be Isaac. Okay? Pretty cool name. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But he says his name's going to be Isaac, and through him, all the people, all the nations are going to be blessed, and you're going to be the father of many nations. Because what's going to happen is, you're 100, your wife's 99, or you're 100 and she's 90 or something like that, and she's past the age of childbearing, well past it, and you're going to have a baby. Now, he hoped against hope, and that means that when he heard God give him this promise, it was a problem too, because many times faith is, gave him this problem. I know what you're thinking. We're not even going to go there. The whole concept, he said, you're going to have a... She's 90. He had to have a candlelight dinner. Hi, honey. She's 90. He's 100. But he hoped against hope that it could be true. He hoped against hope that somehow God was going to fulfill a promise that seemed impossible. And the Bible says that he hoped that it was true. So he received hope. You know what? Bible says we get to have all things. All things are yours. Bible says we get to reign with him in Christ in the millennial kingdom. That we'll be kings and priests with him. That if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. Bible says that one day we're going to be in bliss. There's going to be no more death, no more dying, no more sickness, no more pain. It's going to be bliss, everlasting joy. Everlasting joy, laughter and joy. Oh, forever, never a day where something clouds over the sun. All good, all the time. Hope for that. Because he that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. You see, the pictures begin to come into view when we see the scriptures laid out. And the Bible says he hoped. Not only did he hope, but in verse 19 it says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was yet 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. And the Bible says literally in that verse, in verse 20, it's strengthened. New King James says it that way. He was strengthened in faith. You know what? You will find is that if you begin to walk toward God and you begin to accept him at his word, he will meet you immediately. It's like the prodigal son. As soon as he crested the hill and he was coming up the hill, the father ran and older men did not run in the ancient biblical times. It was undignified, but he threw all dignity of the earth through the wind. You know what? Jesus hung on the cross naked, bleeding, and apparently completely defeated, looking like a lost cause. He threw his dignity to the wind for you and me. So the moment you crest the hill and the moment you come over to the Father's house with the disposition that says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, you won't even get the words out of your mouth. He's there. Because you understand that he has servants and many to spare. But what you might not think of and remind yourself of is he doesn't have many sons. And beloved, I want you to know something. Not everybody who says they're a son is a son. A lot of people are missing it. The Bible says, few. Saddest part I have to ever say is, few there be that find it. That's a scary word. I'm going to do everything in my power to just try to get this book under the crevices of my mind. How about you? So I know I'm one of his. So I have a scroll in my hand and documentation and promises a many that say I'm his. He found hope. He found not only hope, but he found strength. And in verse 22, he found the promise fulfilled. He says it was therefore imputed to him for righteousness. That was what God said would happen. That's what did happen. And in the final verses, he found a family. Look at this. This is so cool. It says in verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Why? Because he was fully persuaded, verse 21. Verse 23 says, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. I love this. Look at this. To whom it shall be imputed if we believe. He says, you look at Abraham. He believed and it was imputed, and it can be imputed to us also. If you'll just believe. Believe what? Believe that Jesus was raised up from the dead, that Jesus was delivered for our offenses, and that Jesus was raised for our justification. You're at the bar of God, and when you put all your faith in Jesus, you get justified. God says it's by faith alone, in Christ alone. You got to have that. You can't manipulate God. God knows everything. He knows your heart. Would you bow with me for a moment?